Now as we come to our sixth word, as Dr. Carolyn Ann Knight will come and bring us that word. Dr. Knight, who serves as a permanent part-time professor of preaching at her alma mater, Union Theological Seminary in New York City. She has also served for 10 years as an assistant professor of homiletics at the Interdenominational Theological Seminary Center in Atlanta. She is also founder of Can Do Ministries, a preventive youth advocacy ministry for young people to help them in these trying times. Lord knows our youth needs some help like never before. Thank you, Jesus. This sixth word, which comes from the gospel according to John, chapter 19, verses 29 through 30, reads, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished,' and bowed his head and gave up the ghost."
Just before she comes, let me be pastor for a moment. I see people leaving. That's okay, but not with before you give your offering. All right. This is our missions effort. And I'm serious. I want you, if you have to leave, please make a generous donation to global missions. Amen? Thank you.
Glory be to God and to God's Son and to God's precious Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. To the pastor of this church, my friend and my brother, Dr. Gregory Jackson, and to these esteemed professors and preachers who grace this pulpit in this place, to this marvelous singing aggregation, to all of you who walk by faith, my brothers and sisters in Christ and in creation, ladies and gentlemen, it is good to be here. For this is another day that God has blessed us to be in the land of the dying on our way to the land of the living. We thank and praise God for God's goodness unto us. I feel somewhat like an intruder, an imposter, a plus one at the club. I went to Union and graduated. I taught at Union and I no longer do. I taught at ITC, and I no longer do. So how in the world do I still find myself in this rarefied air of professors and preachers from New Brunswick and Princeton and New York Theological and Drew and all over the place? And it is a blessing to be in the midst of He willed it so. I'm preaching, Reverend. Don't interrupt my flow. Acting like you at the club, hollering it. When I get into my rap, I'll say, you'll know. Because I'll say, everybody scream. He is my friend, he is my brother, and I'm grateful for every opportunity to come and stand in this significant pulpit where not only ministry but mission takes place. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Thank God it's Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Whereas it has pleased Almighty God to remove from this life the spirit of our beloved brother. How often we have stood at the homegoing celebration of a dear friend or loved one and heard the minister pronounce these solemn final words of commendation. On this fateful first Good Friday, there was no rabbi or pastor present, so Jesus, with his last breath, served as the officiant at his own funeral and commended himself back to God. Having shown us in word and deed for the past 3 years how to live, Jesus now shows us how to die. He met this cruel moment in peace, not with anger or with regret, not with bitter tears or unresolved conflict, but in the full assurance that he had come from God and was going back to God. With dignity, not disgrace, with faith, not in failure, he ended the tug of war between his humanity and his divinity, between earth and glory, between the old and the new, between that which some thought was being taken away and that which he freely gave, between those who thought they had power and the one who had all power. It is finished. At the darkest, most crucial, critical moment of his life, Jesus surrenders his spirit to the one who sent him. I imagine that if we knew when and where we were going to die, where we were going to die, and how we were going to die, we would come to that last moment with profound and prolific words. If we knew with any degree of certainty when we would breathe our last breath, our last words would be eloquent and poignant. Certainly, we would try to make a statement that expressed our love to family and friends. Hopefully, we would try to say something intelligent. We would try to use proper and correct English. We would try to leave some memorable words for the world. We would try to be original in order to leave our mark for posterity. We wouldn't want to say anything vulgar, obscene, or profane. But the truth of the matter is, we don't know when or where we will take our last breath. And what we say at that crucial moment will really be the summing up of how we have lived our lives all along. Make no mistake about it, what comes out of you on your dying day will be a reflection of your ongoing conversations. Your last words will be a reflection of words that you have rehearsed in your everyday speech. If you have peppered your speech with profanities, don't think on your deathbed you are going to start quoting scripture like a biblical scholar. If you have never been able to tell someone with sincerity that you love them in that final hour, you may say it, but it will still ring hollow. If you have always been selfish and self-centered, chances are your final words will be about you as well. So it is no accident that the final words of the greatest man who ever lived were a summing up of his earthly ministry. It is finished. At the beginning of his earthly ministry, he quoted from the prophet Isaiah. He was familiar with the law of Moses, so his final words were not curses, but a cry of victory. The Roman custom at the moment of death to place one's lip over the lips of the dying person in order to receive their spirit, to assure that that spirit would live on after death. Jesus died with the words of God and to God on his lips. As he comes to his final earthly gesture, he summons all his strength in his dying body and cries out one last time, it is finished. Not to curse, not to criticize, not to condemn those standing at the foot of the cross, not to call down legions of angels to fight for him, but to reestablish the relationship between Father and Son. I have come from God, and I'm going back to God. It is finished. The totality of everything that I've set out to do, not from just this moment in time, but from the beginning of time, to make a connection between heaven and earth. The full range of his humanity has been expressed in public view of some who were glad and others who were sad. At that moment, he demonstrates the extent of his love and his sacrifice. We know he had no business being there. Pilate found no fault in him. Herod said he had done nothing deserving of death. The criminal on the cross next to him declared that his crucifixion was unjust. But at this final moment of his life, Jesus calls up to God and makes this pronouncement, it is finished. And having done that, he placed his life back in God's hand. He put us and our salvation, our future there as well. When he commits himself and his spirit back to God, when he yields up his ghost, he commits himself and he commits us also. His trust in God became the substance of our faith. As the day begins, all that has gone on before looks as if they were winning. They being those who had set this cruel and heinous plan in motion. All day long, they joked and mocked. They taunted and teased. All day long, they talked and gambled at the foot of the cross. All day long, they mocked and mimicked. All day long, they tempted and teased him. All day long, they had their way and had their say. This was Good Friday then, and this is Good Friday now. Look around. Jesus died at a time of political and economic unrest. Politicians were at odds with one another. It is in the text, Pilate and Herod had been enemies, that there was a conflict between Rome and Jerusalem. The poor, the unemployed, the uninsured could be found in the streets of the city. At this moment, Jesus is saying, this is the reason why I came. For this very hour I was born. I must be about my Father's business. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw them all unto me. All that God had set out to do from the beginning of time is wrapped up in this moment, wrapped up in this statement, wrapped up in this pronouncement. When Jesus placed his spirit and his ghost in God's hand, it is the ultimate fulfillment of all that God has done, is doing, and will do. Jesus put his body between us and those who sought to destroy us. There was a shift in creation, a change at the cross, a pause in heaven, a rally around the throne. The action in this dynamic drama moves from heaven to earth and from earth to heaven. Those who thought they were all leading characters in this episode became role players with minor part. The real star of the show showed up when Jesus said, it is finished. Those of you who are being appalled, those of you who are appalled at the strange silence of God on Good Friday, don't trip. God doesn't have to speak to work. He can work in silence. God can move behind the scenes. He can save without being center stage. He can work without saying a word. And that is exactly what he did. When Jesus placed his spirit back to God, when he said, Father, I've done everything that you sent me to do, his ultimate sacrifice became our eternal gain. The constant refrain of the heavenly life of Jesus Christ was that I freely give my life. No one takes it from me. In love, as an act of sacrifice, I'm letting go of my life in order to give life. It seems almost strange to gather here today. We made such a mess of things. If we would be honest in here, most of us sit on Good Friday Friday, anxious about something, mad about something, worried about something. He's saying it is finished. If you read John's gospel, that's all he said. Luke gives us insight into a dying Jesus who said much more on that fateful day. He moved from a God who abandons to a Father who trusts. We will all come to the point where we all must face something that only God can handle. Now, if it hasn't happened to you yet, just keep on living. Just keep on walking. Just keep on talking. We will all come to a time, a circumstance, when the weight of what you are facing is too much for you. And you will find yourself crying out to God. Personally, when I consider the situation in this nation and in this world, I believe that that's where we are right now. Look at what we're going through. Home foreclosure, high unemployment, hungry, homeless, uninsured children, homicidal and suicidal parents, arrogance on Wall Street, anger on Main Street, there on every street. Look at the circumstance that we have created in a world where terrorists are daily trying to take over, where 9/11 is so much more than an emergency phone number, bullet-ridden streets, gang-infested schools, unhappy homes, inadequate health care. We live in a world where levees break and expose the issue of poverty and race and class in this nation. We live in a world where we are more concerned about untalented, spoiled, rich kids on their way to jail and rehab than we are young men and women coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan in body bags. We in the church are being challenged like never before. The world is watching us. They want to see if we're going to practice what we preach. They want to know if we can live what we sing about. They want to compare the depth of our walk to the height of our shout. They want us to put some legs on our faith. These are challenging times. These are trying times. We need some help beyond our limited resources. We need some help beyond our capabilities. We need some intervention beyond our abilities. It is finished, but it ain't over. I don't know how you feel about it, but I believe that we need to join Jesus in the cry of the cross and say with a loud voice, it is finished, but it ain't over. I've done the work that God assigned me to do. On that first Good Friday, they looked forward to the resurrection. In 2012, we can look backwards at the resurrection. We know that the tomb is empty. We know that he's risen, as he said. Jesus wanted to make it clear that the debt has been paid. It is finished. That the breach between God and humanity has been repaired. It is finished. That the battle between good and evil, heaven and hell, has been won. It is finished. Tetelestai, paid in full. Tetelestai, sin canceled. Tetelestai, nothing left to do. It is finished. He was in God's hands, not in defeat, but in victory. Not with a whimper, but a shout. This pronouncement, this announcement was so that all of us who gather this day with our curiosity, standing in the crowd, looking up to see, listening to hear, crying companions would know that he completed the work on earth that God had given him to do, to remind us that he came from God and he was returning to God, that he had come to the end, not bruised, not broken, not bowed, not a victim, but a victor. What seemed like a failure on Friday would be a success come Sunday. Oh, yes. that's Sunday. Yeah, that's the day. Yeah, don't get messed up on Friday. Yeah, I know what it looks like on Friday. Yeah, but you have to hang in there until Sunday. Yeah, we know that we live in a sinful world and a loving God have been reconciled. We know that there's a roadway between earth and glory. But Jesus said it is finished. He didn't just let it go. He gave it up. He let God have it. He let God take it. He let God handle it. He let God deal with it. That is why the crowd who came to the cross that day, they came to cheer, but they left crying. That's why the centurion got converted. That's why the women showed up on the first day of the week. He removed the uncertainty about who he was and where he was headed. The grave is only temporary. It is finished. He put our problems, our pain, our politics, our potential, our past, our present, our future. He gave it up to God. But wait, there's more. Maybe you're facing your own Good Friday. Your taxes are due. Your marriage needs mending. Your child is in crisis. Your family needs fixing. Your dog won't behave. Your fish has died. Join Jesus at the foot of the cross and cry out to God. Give your life to God. Give your spirit back to God. Give your situation to God. Give your circumstance to God. It is finished, but it ain't over. God is still working. God is still healing. God is still blessing. God is still working miracles. He's still reconciling races. He's still feeding hungry folks. He's still working miracles in your life. No matter what the situation or the circumstance, God has us covered today, tomorrow, and forevermore, because Jesus said it is finished. We are covered. If we mess up, we're covered. If we make a mistake, we're covered. When I'm broke, I'm covered. When I'm sick, I'm covered. But wait, there's more. It's finished, but it ain't over. Jesus had another reason for giving up his spirit. He had to let go of his humanity in order to resume his divinity. If he had just died without giving up his spirit, we'd still be without hope. The grave would still be occupied. Satan would still be in his charge. In his humanity, he was limited. In his divinity, all things are possible. In his humanity, he suffered. In his divinity, he sacrificed. In his humanity, he died. In his divinity, he reigns forevermore. In his humanity, he loves us. In his divinity, he saves us. When he said it is finished, he did the work that we needed him to do. So now we're in God's hands. We're in God's care. We're in God's spirit. It is finished, but it ain't over. There's still work to do. Races to run, victories to win, souls to save, marriages to win, churches to revitalize. It's over, but it ain't finished. Thank God for Friday. Thank God that he died on Friday so he could live forevermore. It is finished, but it ain't over.